The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I wrote an article for our newsletter reminding folks that we have an automated external defibrillator, otherwise known as an AED, in the building. Anybody able to point in its general direction? Really? Even the property committee members don't remember? It's back there, that way. Behind me, hanging on a hook in the hallway between this space and the Martin Luther room. Anyway, it got me thinking about how long it had been since I had taken a CPR and first aid class. Too long, really. So I spent a little time trying to recall key teachings, like if you think someone's heart has stopped, you're supposed to focus on chest compressions and not worry about mouth-to-mouth breathing. And if you sing the Bee Gees song, "Stayin' Alive," in your head and do chest compressions to the beat, you'll keep up the right pace, about 100 compressions per minute. Ah, 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 stayin' alive, stayin' alive. One of the things the instructor just absolutely hammered into us was this: in an emergency, you don't just yell, "Someone call 911," or "Someone go get help." No, you identify specific people around you and give them a job. You point, "You in the blue shirt, call 911. You in the suit, help me get this woman on her back on the floor. You in the baseball cap," and thank you for none of you wearing baseball caps in here, "find an employee and see if they have an AED in the building." You see, individuals are less likely to take action when among a group of people because they assume other bystanders or witnesses around them are going to do it. There's actually a term for this phenomenon from the field of social psychology: diffusion of responsibility. Diffusion of responsibility increases as the size of a group increases, which makes sense. And it is more prevalent when folks in a group are anonymous, unknown to each other. For instance, among a big crowd in a football stadium or a bunch of folks waiting to board various flights at an airport, which also makes sense. We're in the very early weeks, just the third Sunday of the long stretch of the season after Pentecost, a season that will run this year the whole way to November 19th, when we'll celebrate the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. After spending most of the past several months of Lent and Easter hearing from the Gospel of John, we've turned once again to the Gospel of Matthew. And we're picking up pretty much where we left off back in February at the end of the Epiphany season. And yes, I know that feels both like just yesterday and also like 10 years ago. Back then, we were telling stories from the early days of Jesus' ministry about Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, about the day Jesus is strolling along the shore and calls his first disciples, the fishermen Simon and Andrew, James and John, about how Jesus kicks off his public ministry with the extended set of teachings we know as the Sermon on the Mount. After he finishes this inaugural teaching and comes down off the mountain, Jesus' healing ministry really gets underway. In short order, Jesus heals a leper, a centurion's servant, Simon's mother-in-law, a whole bunch of people possessed by demons, a couple more demoniacs in another town, and a paralytic. Then, as we heard last week, Jesus raises a little girl from the dead and makes a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years well. After that, in stories not included in our 3-year lectionary, because of Jesus, 2 blind men receive their sight, and a demoniac who was also mute is exorcised and begins to speak. The first verses of today's gospel from Matthew sort of sum up this activity. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. And then Matthew continues. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Compassion is one of those words that suggests a sort of warm and fuzzy feeling. When we're being compassionate, we empathize with other people. We become concerned about their suffering. We want to provide relief and comfort. From what you and I know about Jesus, it's easy to picture him gazing kindly upon the people gathered around him, feeling their pain. Oh, poor things, we can imagine him saying. But the Greek word the Gospel of Matthew uses here, the word that ends up being translated into English as compassion, is much stronger, much more graphic. It describes a visceral reaction, literally to be moved in your bowels, deep inside. There's not a good English equivalent. And perhaps the best we can do is say that the suffering of the crowds is gut-wrenching to Jesus. What happens next is kind of amazing. After he has been deeply moved, after his stomach is tied up in knots over the suffering he sees around him, Jesus enlists help. You, to 12 people he points. Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas. Go, he says. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. There's probably about 125 folks attending worship at First Lutheran in this post-pandemic era, some mostly every Sunday, some a couple Sundays a month, some in the Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday mode. And there's 3 million or so of us ELCA Lutherans among the approximately 200 million Christians of all persuasions across the United States. And right now, across the globe, there's somewhere in the vicinity of 2.5 billion followers of Jesus. 2.5 billion. Among so many, it's awfully easy, isn't it, to see people in desperate need of help in places like Ukraine, North Korea, Afghanistan, Syria, to learn about the needs of just our local community for affordable housing, food security, adequate health insurance, to read a solicitation for volunteers or for monetary donations or for prayer, to hear an announcement that our congregation is responsible for a meal at the soup kitchen or is assembling personal care kits to send to Lutheran World Relief, and to assume someone else will do it. Diffusion of responsibility, I think it's called. But none of us is just a bystander in the crowd of humanity. For in our baptism, God has called each of us by name. Lisa, John, Janet, Matthew, Bob, Dave, Arlen, Betty, Debbie, Charlie, Jeff, Susie, insert your name here. And in our baptism, God has given each of us work to do, the work of the kingdom. Through a splash of water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are called to be signs of and sharers of Jesus' gut-wrenching compassion for the world. His gut-wrenching compassion for neighbors and strangers, for friends and enemies. Through a splash of water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you and you and you and you and you and I were called to invite and welcome, to love and embrace, to serve and feed and visit, to forgive, to clothe, to pray for, to proclaim healing and good news to. This is our responsibility, our privilege, our blessing, our joy. Thanks be to God.